are 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. As you know, we serve three states, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people from all over the USA tune in and also listen to our rebroadcast simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And you can listen live during 11 to 12, and you can listen throughout the day to various programs that we have, and you can listen every day at that same link from 11 a.m. until 12 noon Saturdays. On Sundays, it's 12:30 to 2 in the afternoon. Well, we have a lot of things going on, and we are certainly enjoying the company of Mark Andel, who is the founder of the American Made Store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis, who is always on the road featuring the America First Project. And also, I'd like to compliment our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, I have to say that we are now 1 day before Thanksgiving 2020. And I'd like to take this opportunity to say best wishes to you and yours from all of us in the Blihash family. Of course, as we know, this year, Thanksgiving is going to be somewhat different. Maybe it's not all going to be celebrated on 1 day because of the coronavirus. Families are having some on Thursday, some on Friday, some on Saturday. But because we are great people, we will really make it through all this. And I know that all of you listening are out there and always happy to hear from you. I love your suggestions. I do include them in many of my weekly commentaries. And while I'm at it, I want to say a happy Thanksgiving to many of the people from other states who tune into other over 20 radio programs that present my weekly commentary. I can't thank them enough, because that's how the movement has been going. And I just wish that good things will happen in the year 2021, because we've been through a lot of torture in this last year. Nothing can be worse than 2021. We've already gone through all that. Hopefully it's going to be all over. I also want to thank our panel members for a great broadcast last Wednesday. As you know, we had Barbara Ilnitska, who is the hostess of the Polish-American radio program 5 days a week here on 860 AM. I definitely received a lot of great feedback from people who said she had first-hand information about visits to China with various tour groups. She was there three times over a 20-year period. So she certainly saw how much moving America's industries over the years has benefited China and really hurt the USA. As Barbara mentioned, it's nice to go to China and see all those beautiful American companies have their billboards up and listed on buildings and factories and offices. China's now growing, as America businesses were just about holding on for the last 30 years. And by the way, China's growth is largely because of the amount of businesses that were able to leave America and the amount of business China enjoyed as a result of America's consumers also just buying all of their products that were sold all over the USA. We were one of their best customers, and they're certainly looking forward to that continuing. But that'll only continue if we allow it to continue. It also happened with the assistance of America's elected leaders in Washington, who allowed them to, you know, become a bigger part of the global economy, offering them all kinds of trade deals and discounts and things like that. I remember being in Europe over many times. I visited Europe, various countries, and I was always charged a VAT tax, a value-added tax, for everything that I bought from America while I was there in Europe. So I understand, you know, the disappointments, and I know how much we have done to make things change in the USA and how much more has to be done. To do that, China wanted to get their people out of the fields, and they made deals with our national leaders to give them a chance. They made deals with business leaders, major corporations, smaller corporations, and people moved their industries over to China, and no one sort of blinked an eye. In fact, our American leaders helped them with various trade organization grants and things. It was unbelievable. Not only the World Trade Organization and NAFTA, there were also grants coming from our dollars here to help them succeed there, hoping that they would become a bigger and bigger part of the global economy. Here we are in nearing the end of 2020, and we're suffering for poor leadership over a 35-year period. And when I was speaking to Rich, he was going to find out if some of those same people are sitting there in Washington making legislation that governs our rules and regs for doing business in the USA. First of all, can I turn to Rich Logis and say, Rich, how is everything with you on this day before Thanksgiving 2020?
Michael.
And what have you learned with all of that's been happening lately?
Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And thank you for staying with us as listeners. And Mark Larkin, our audio engineer. Still a swing voter in a swing state. You never stop earning those votes. But here's what I want to say, Michael, every experience, me and Larkin talk about this a lot, Mark. Every experience is a learning or affirming moment. So you have a moment of learning something or a moment of affirming something. And as we head into the new year, Michael, there are two goals that I have that I've decided to tell everyone. Get on my back. Let me lead. Let it fail or succeed on my shoulders. Like General Patton used to say, Mark, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. And I'm going to take on, Michael, two major wars at the same time. The first war is going to be that we are, and everything that's happened with this election, although I know it's still contested and in dispute, and we see how it winds up, but it doesn't change the fact what I'm about to say. I've come to realize over the last few years just how arduous the war is going to be, Mark, to make America grown up again. But I'm going to lead that war. The other war that Larkin is with me on, and I believe, Larkin, we're going to get people in Florida and across the country to follow us on, is we need to make, we'll start with Florida, but we want to take it nationwide. In addition to wanting to make America grown up again, Michael, we want to make America more constitutional again. And the best way to make America more constitutional again is to have a nationwide discussion about how it is too easy to vote. And the way that discussion has to get framed, Mark, is we talk all the time about, and for good reason, why we want, Michael, a better, more qualified class of politicians and lawmakers. Right, Mark? Don't we talk about that all the time? Okay. How come there's never a discussion about a more qualified class of voters, though, Mark? Why not?
That's a good question, Rich, and I will tell you. I will tell you, I agree with that, because I will give you an example. the week of the election and the weekend before the election, some of these radio show hosts and TV show hosts go out into the public and ask the people who are running in their local area for senator, for congressman. Most of the people look back and say, I have no idea. Who is running for president? It's Trump all by himself. No. They have no idea. They have no idea.
I mean, Michael, imagine you're on the table for life-saving heart surgery. And right before the anesthesia kicks in, you hear the doctor ask, where am I supposed to cut? And someone responds, I have no idea. I mean, Mark, let's say you're in the welding shop. And a welder asks, is my hand supposed to be here? And someone says, I have no idea. I mean, you'd probably get up off the table, the surgical table. Mark, you'd probably say, get me another welder. Larkin has worked in major industries, Larkin, right, in your life. Well, do I put the oil in this barrel or this barrel, Larkin? I have no idea. Probably should get someone else to put the oil in the barrel, Larkin. So, and this is to be continued, Michael. But what I'm saying is everything that has happened in the last month has had both a learning and affirming effect for me. And I'm saying to everyone, get on my back, follow me, let this succeed or fail on my shoulders. And as a last point here, Michael, because you'd asked me to look at what members of Congress voted in favor of NAFTA, and there are actually many, and in fact, it was bipartisan for the most part, actually, for NAFTA, which goes to show you, Larkin, that bipartisan often means that both sides were wrong compared to just one. The concept of bipartisanship, Mark, is one that Republicans, much more than Democrats, love to talk about. And that's because, Mark, the romanticization of democracy doesn't come from Democrats. It comes from Republicans. So when you hear the word bipartisan, you are much more likely to hear it come out of the mouths of a Republican than you are a Democrat. So when it comes to trade, Michael, with someone like Sarah Blackwell, who's been on this show, has talked about, and I've got to follow up with Sarah, when you talk about an issue such as immigration reform, they have been bipartisan failures. So just a couple of names, Republican and Democrat, who supported NAFTA, Mitch McConnell, Ed Markey, Alcee Hastings, who's here in Florida, Chuck Grassley, Dick Durbin, my former congresswoman in New York who just retired, Nita Lowey, she was a supporter of it. These are Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in 1993, Larkin. So 27 years later, some of the names who were around then are still around right now, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone could think about that for a little bit. So those are some of the names, people who supported NAFTA who are still around.
That's right. And this is really what amazes me, and that is why I agree with Barbara Ilnitska that there should be term limits, that this should not be a job where they carry you out feet first. It should just definitely not be that kind of a job. Most of them want it to be. And as Barbara said, some of them have been there in the Congress longer than she's lived in America. And she can't believe that that's how it works. But that's how it does work. Because if somebody is getting their toast buttered by one of these people, these political organizations keep asking you, give us money, then you have to produce something. You know, like our campaign is a whole different type of a thing. We're not urging people to be against any foreign company or anything like that. We're urging America's consumers to move forward and help our businesses that are left in America so that they can grow Instead, those Mitch McConnells and Nancy Pelosi and Grassley and so many of them that have been in there for 30, 40 years. I mean, is there no one else qualified in the system? Doesn't make any kind of sense to me. And by the way, I'd like to see, I don't know how this works, Rich, maybe you can find out. Many companies that have moved back even to Pennsylvania and New Jersey came back or expanded their product lines mainly because of the tax cuts that were offered to them during the last 2 years. Now, my point here is, I don't remember if that tax cut was authorized with a vote from Congress or was that an executive order. If it was an executive order, oh God. If it was authorized by Congress, then I want to see those people speak up and let us know why we need to raise the taxes again on businesses so that they don't want to come back to America. They want to go back to wherever they were. This is something that's never been discussed during the campaign enough. Yes, there were things discussed, many things that I thought wasted a lot of time, criticisms and things like that. These are the things that should have been on the table at every time that they got together. What are we doing for our fellow American people? Every day should be a Thanksgiving Day in the United States of America because you have a job, you're able to support yourself, you're able to be concerned about your family, you're able to have joy in your heart, not wait for some government person in an office telling you, well, you can apply for this or apply for that. Our agency, when I first became involved with this project back in 1999, this is a very interesting thing. A man from a union and also a community leader. This is 1999. The first couple commentaries on American Workers Need You, I asked them for opinions and things like that. You know what the guy said to me? Why would you want to put time into an effort like this? I said, because I'm in human services. I see that people want jobs. They don't want government benefits. They want jobs. They want to be thankful that they're able to get up, share their skills, and, you know, have a career. And he said, well, so much of this stuff has already moved over. I'm working with the people on the docks, and we're getting a lot of containers in from all these foreign countries. I don't know how many people would agree with your campaign. I said, well, if it's a flop, it'll be a flop, but at least I tried and I made a statement. Here it is, over 20 years, no politician has come forward. I don't think Mark has had anybody come to him and say, Mark, I want to feature your store because you are benefiting most American workers in our particular county in New York. I don't know if anybody has come to him. No, they don't. And nobody comes to me in the Philadelphia or tri-state area either because they don't want to have their cookie jars and their sugar trails changed. Right now, they're getting enough money. Do you think China is happy that the election went this way? I believe so. Because they think, well, maybe the tariffs will come off and we'll be able to make more money because we were paying a portion of the tariffs ourselves. Or maybe they're going to say, hey, maybe we can get some of those grants from America's taxpayers to expand and help our people get more jobs in China. When it first happened over 30 years ago, the American people, you know, hey, it's like community development, world development, global development. Did it help us in any way? I don't think so. So, Rich, I'd like to see that list that you came up with. Maybe we should focus a little bit more on that. And I'd like to know very much, were the tax breaks that were authorized 2 years ago, were they done with the support of the House and Senate, or were they done just as an executive order? Because I want those tax deductions to stay where they are. I'd like to see those regulations kept low. And most of all, I think the stuff should be tariffed that comes to this country. We should have a value-added tax, just like they do in Europe. Anything foreign to their country is, amongst other things, a value-added tax. Isn't that nice? Value-added. Because it's just a sales tax. It's just an extra tax in addition to their local tax. We have to get that way, too. We have to point our eyes in the direction of looking for a label that says made in the USA. We want jobs for our people. On this Thanksgiving Eve, I would ask everybody to say to their family, whether they're meeting in person or on Skype, help us help each other. Help us help American workers. Let's get off all the problems that we've had, all the political issues. Let's put all of that aside and look for the benefit of American made and American workers. Rich, I got to see that list. I know that you texted it to me, but I got to get it emailed. Mark, how are you doing?
Good, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Mike, Rich, Henry, and Larkin, of course, and I don't think Curtis is on today, but yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Big time of year, Mike, up here. A lot going on in New York, especially our western New York. Well, first, the Made in America movement is alive and well, and madeinamerica.com, our website, just really growing rapidly. We had a great week this week, so we're excited. Remember, this is the largest time for retailers with Black Friday this Friday, Small Business Saturday, this coming Saturday, and then Cyber Monday. And, Mike, you know, we need everything because we've lost a lot of legs of business with sales throughout the COVID-China crisis. And a lot going on there. So big week for retailers. You know, it matters. Buy local, buy American. I love our talk so far and what you've said. But we also have in Western New York our governor, you know, they applied the we're in the orange zone now as of last week, Thursday. Friday, salons, gyms, restaurants had to basically, salons and gyms closed. Restaurants had to go to outside takeout only, or you could sit outside, which shouldn't even be said because it's 40 degrees out here, 30-40 degrees. So very tough times on business. A good friend owns a salon, and it's their livelihood. So we had a gym person stand up two nights ago and organize 100 businessmen came to his gym after he was closed, and they had a protest and a meeting about how they could fight back and stay open, do it safely. And he made Fox News, I just seen it again today. They threw the law enforcement and health people out because he was closed, and they came in his building when he was closed, and they had no right to do that. But they did tape a $15,000 fine to his door, and it's local. It's only 15 minutes from me, this gym. So a lot of people are trying to fight back. This is the holiday season. This is the retail season. It's hard on these businesses the second run to be closed. Larkin, you know best. These business owners have to make payroll, have to pay their rents. Unemployment max is $500, and for a business owner, if they can get it, that's nothing per week to keep the lights on and keep your bills being paid. So many, many things going on. The governor's going to come on at 2 o'clock today and announce if we go red. If we go red, all essential or non-essential businesses close.
Well, Mark, let me just say this to you. The thing that amazes me as a person who works in human services, and if a person has a problem, we have to try to serve the needs of the person and get them outside the problem zone. In New York and in other states where they're shutting everything down, sure, these people are giving you an ultimatum. We're shutting down and you have to obey our orders. But you know, in the process, they should also come up with part two of that. Now, they should say, gym owners and restaurant owners, because you have been so greatly hurt, we are going to reimburse you. We are going to give you some COVID relief. You will not have to pay your taxes on the businesses and licensing extra this, that. All these ways to help the people to save the money they're ordering them to close for. This doesn't make sense to me.
Mike, our governor came on last week, and then he mentioned he's getting a $25,000 raise. Just wasn't the time for it. And his, here you're closing businesses. You're talking about him getting a raise. And it's just craziness. But like you said, the biggest thing is a gym, a salon, a massage parlor, a restaurant. You can't go inside. But you can still go to Walmart to get your groceries. You're still going to the dentist. So this time around, it's so different, and people are taking it personal. Why me if we've got people that want to come be safe, social distance, wear the mask, we clean everything every 15 minutes, we're doing everything right, we've done everything you said, but you close us down. But not everybody, just certain people. So here it's a big deal. And Western New York, I'm not talking New York City, Western New York, our counties, my county that I live in, this time it's Western New York, which is a bit strange and very hard on businesses this time of year. I just feel for the businesses. I just don't feel they get the respect. I don't think a lot of politicians have a clue what it takes to run one, what it's about, what it means to be shut down completely and not have any revenue come in.
Now, Mark, that's very interesting that they would command you to be closed. If it was maybe for one day or something like that. But how do they command people to be closed without also trying to work with them to have a little bit of income relief?
Yeah. And it happened last Friday. They called orange, which was first was yellow, then orange, and now red might be announced today. Very tough. But you know, again, our website's grown, our stores, we've got some open, but one of our mall stores would be closed instantly, another leg of business during a crucial time from Black Friday to Christmas. But again, people want to have the right to shop and to wear a mask and to go out. And if you don't feel comfortable, if you have other issues in that, you stay home.
Well, there's a lot of things that have to be done. And, you know, the thing that disappoints me when Rich mentioned McConnell, I mean, McConnell and Pelosi, they should not even be allowed to go home for any kind of Thanksgiving. They should be in Washington, D.C., working on this COVID relief program for businesses, for people, and everybody else. Some of the people, because of them, have not even been able to collect their unemployment, the federal portion of it. Nothing, because the feds have not released the monies. They were fighting over the year-end budget. Then the COVID thing was not passed. This has been going on for 6 months. 6 months. Now, they don't give a damn because they're sitting there collecting their weekly paycheck, and they have their drivers and their security people and everything else. They do not understand. That's why I said the elected people should go out into the community. I go into the community. I meet with people. I see what is going on. These people have no idea.
Yeah, Mike, you're a business owner, right? You're a salon owner, a gym owner, a massage parlor, a restaurant in Western New York, and it just gets announced last Friday you're shut down. But there's no other plan. They may get unemployment because usually self-employed don't get unemployment.
They can't, yes.
The max unemployment is $500, but how can you, you know, what is the plan? There's no stimulus to keep you open, and how long is this going to last? They didn't say, hey, for 2 weeks you got to shut down. Okay, we can get through that. No. Indefinitely.
In Philadelphia County, the entire city is closed to most people. There, you can't have any tourists. Everything is ordered closed until after the 1st of January when they'll reconsider it. No one's allowed to go into a restaurant or anything like that, sit down.
At this point, Mike.
It is completely now. Has there been, as we close you for a certain period of time, we are looking for every which way to get you some tax relief. They spent over a period of 20 years. We were over in Afghanistan and all for 20 years. We spend 10 to 15 trillion. They're not telling you the whole deal of what is in the budget that was lost, because a lot of that stuff was already budgeted in the budget. They're only telling you what the debt is to the American people through the debt clock. That a lot of that budgeted stuff has all been gobbled up by this, the people overseas. We were doing that for 20 years. It's 20 years at this point. 20 years we wasted trillions upon trillions of dollars. When it comes time to help the American people during a very difficult time, when the American people could get back to work and pay back some of those trillions of dollars in taxes. They're not even, they're arguing over crazy stuff. They're absolutely arguing. They should come back. No turkey for Nancy. No turkey for Mitch McConnell. Get back to Washington and do your job. Yes, Larkin, how you doing, guy? Are you ready for your turkey, Larkin?
Yeah, I'm so ready for Thanksgiving, and we're going to have it with family. I hate to be this way because it, I don't think it's becoming, but under the circumstances, it's the only way that works for me. Nobody's going to tell me that I'm married to a registered nurse. I know how to control COVID. I'm just so over this. You guys have hit on this left and right, but what you have missed is what the remedy is. Nobody's coming up with remedies. We need a remedy. We saw last week the most astounding demonstration of hypocrisy and arrogance that just absolutely pinpoints how far apart the government is from the people that they think that they ride herd over. And it's just absolutely crazy. Yeah, we've got the Nancy Pelosi going to the hair salon, but we got a governor that's about to close down the state of New York who, as Mark so amply put it, decided to announce that he was going to get a raise.
Yeah, $25,000.
You're going to get a raise for being the number one hotspot in the world? That's what you're getting a raise over?
You know, Larkin, you're right. It's shameless.
No, wait a second. Then he turns around, and in the same breath goes, well, I'm going to take my 87-year-old mother and two of my daughters, and we're going up to Albany, the capital, and we're going to have us a big Thanksgiving dinner.
You've been listening, Larkin.
You just told us that we're not supposed to do any of that, Governor Cuomo. this guy wins an Emmy, not an Emmy or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think for the way he handled COVID. Are you kidding me? We lost more people in New York than any two states put together.
Nursing homes alone.
No, what is this? We congratulate now our politicians for. I absolutely don't get it. And then, of course, there was the supreme one. This is the one that I love. Governor Newsom, who I think is a despicable human being, decided that he was going to shut down the state of New York. And then he joined a celebration for a prominent lobbyist at a fancy restaurant called the French Laundry. And it's hard to say which was more astonishing. The way he was a hypocrite when he handled the notation, or the arrogance. I mean, just the flat-out arrogance of saying the laws are here to restrict your activity. Me? I'm the governor. I'm the hotshot. I'm a big guy. And then he said, well, that might have been a mistake. A mistake, Governor? Seriously? In the same breath that you shut down your state, you announce, or you don't announce anything, somebody had to find you, at a table of 12 lobbyists and his wife, with no masks on, eating a $450 price-fixed plate with a $12,000 wine bill for the meal.
Wow.
A mistake? You're calling this a mistake? This is a restaurant where for dinner for two it costs more than most people can make in a week. And he's out there just braggadociously eating dinner because I'm the governor and I can pretty much do whatever I want and you have to listen to me. Or somewhere along the line, I'm going to decide to have you thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for doing this. And so, you know, This is all coming during an economic public health crisis. And this incident, just with Newsom, reinforces the notion that state government, and for that matter, all government across the country, is a mess of bureaucratic dysfunction and aristocratic indifference. They're arrogant. They are flat-out arrogant. And why he is not being flushed out of office immediately, and why we don't have in this country a system similar to the system they have in England, where you can have a confidence vote and say, oh, no, this sucker's got to go. Yeah. And not to the next election. He's got to go now.
You know, Larkin, we need another
of New York.
We need another candid camera type situation to follow the politicians. We need that on a big level, because I see in the press is saying very little about what they really feel. They don't go out and do their job. It's just anything that, you know, just to pass time. That's what I'm seeing. It's passing time, not really helping American workers, America's businesses. I mean, Mark, if somebody came to you and said, Mark, we realize you're closed. We had to close you because you're in the red phase or whatever. I mean, but we're going to help you with some small business grants that you won't have to repay, so that you don't have to lose all of your staff and, you know, go bankrupt in the process. Did anyone ever contact you to do that, Mark?
No.
And I don't believe anybody in this country has been contacted by any political people that's going to happen.
I'm going to tell you the downside of what you just suggested. The federal government and every state except Florida and a few others who has a balanced budget, every other, are spending money we don't have.
Larkin, we've been spending money for 20 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. For 20 years, it's way over $15 trillion, which is on the debt clock, and plus all the money that was budgeted year after year after year. What's on the debt clock is the money over and above what was in the budgeted money. So this is a time, because this COVID virus that originated in China, they didn't do their job. It came to America's shores. This is a time that the American elected official has to do their job. They have to talk to the everyday person who pays the taxes.
Well, Michael,
let me ask you, how many people do you think are in Washington, D.C. right now? How many elected
Nobody.
Do you think are... Right.
You're Nobody. They're all ready to have their servants, their maids, with or without masks, serve them. They gorge themselves at the Thanksgiving table with no thought whatsoever.
Michael,
yes.
A lot of Americans are going to, and it's actually really sad, Larkin, and is an existential problem that we're facing, that many Americans around the country are going to get a very, very harsh lesson in what federalism actually is.
Yep.
And the worst, and the people on this panel, and I'm including Curtis, even though he's not with us. Curtis, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for all you do. I'm not a person, Michael, who ever sugarcoats anything. If you want to hear what you want to hear, talk to your wife. She'll tell you still look sexy in Speedos. That ain't the way that I operate. I tell people what they need to hear. Curtis has it the absolute worst of everybody on this panel. He lives in New York City. The New York City government, which is an elected body, Larkin, where in New York City's five boroughs, The Democrat to Republican voter registration rate is 7-1. 7-1. And unfortunately, Mark, you got it second worst. And that's, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer here, But what I know is that as we celebrate, you know, our national holiday, which was a holiday before the actual formation of this country, the origins of it, this is a nation, Michael, that was founded by fighting and having to continue to fight after 1776, a monarchy that was seven centuries old when we fought them. And here we are today, that same nation is talking about cowering in our crawl spaces and our attics and fallout shelters over a virus with a 99%+ survival rate. That's the reality. Now, again, everything other than the evidence and the data and the science and the math and the numbers and the contracts are worthless and hysterical opinions. And you know who the most hysterical people about this COVID virus, Mark, are in the country, the most hysterical? The ones who have the easiest, most comfortable lives. Because everybody else, on my day-to-day basis, Michael, where I'm trying to salvage my business, be a husband, be a parent, be a good parent, be a good husband, on the totem pole of things to do, 99.8 survival rate, worry is kind of low on the totem pole. Right, Mark?
Absolutely.
Now, if all my bills are paid and I live in a utopian wonderland where men can compete in women's sports, I got all goddamn day to be hysterical, don't I? So there you go. And what does it all come back to? Here comes, see, there's a method to my madness. And I always come back to the same principle, because Larkin asked a very valid question. How come these guys ain't ever voted out? We have entered an epoch of what the tyranny of the majority looks like. And the reason we have a tyranny of the majority is because it is too easy to vote in the United States.
Well, an educated voter really has to be considered as priceless at this point.
Do we think, let me ask everyone, do we actually think, and if you ask the Republican Party this, Larkin, they'll give you some romanticization about Jefferson lowercase r republicanism. It'll be some romantic, oh my God, it's the pursuit of civil nobility where we have a Socratic dialogue in the garden of Plato's Republic. If we have more voters enter the rolls in the United States, are we going to become more or less constitutional? Which do we think? Which do we think? 80 million Americans. There are 255 million voting age Americans, Michael. 255 million voting age Americans. And 80 million of them. And no one should construe what I'm saying as not accept. You accept the results of an election whether you like it or not. 80 million of them went to the polls under one direction, Mark, which was to outnumber you and to outnumber me and to outnumber Larkin. We have entered what the tyranny of the majority that the framers warned us against. Because if there's anything, Michael, that the framers didn't romanticize, it was democracy. They did not romanticize democracy. When John Adams wrote that democracies in history always commit suicide and murder themselves, which were the words he used, that doesn't exactly sound like a romanticization to me, Larkin.
Hey, Rich, wouldn't less voters just mean the tyranny of the minority? Just thought I'd give you something to think about and then blow
up. Well, no, I don't think that Henry, swing voter in a swing state. Henry,
yes, that's right.
That we're not calling for less voters. We don't want less voters. We just want more educated voters. We just want them to know what and how they're voting. And they don't.
Well, then you're competing
they
with TikTok.
Have absolutely no idea.
Larkin, then you're competing with TikTok. Good luck.
The situation is, let me give you a little story of how my election morning took place, and I think that will make you understand why an educated voter is necessary. standing in the line of about 100 people on the election morning, I like to just be a devil's advocate and ask little questions and say, by the way, who is our state representative that's really good that we're going to vote for today? Guess what? Nobody had any idea in front of me or in back of me. They had no idea.
Well, they
how about the state senator?
But R's and D's.
They didn't know R or D. They had no idea.
No,
they had no idea. And that's why an educated voter is so important. Had no idea. And, so you can't really push. Well, he did a very good job to a person that doesn't have any idea who is representing them within their voting division's area. They have no idea. None. They go in there and they just hit first two things or three things and go out. There are many situations in most of the voting areas where the people went out live to vote. They didn't vote on the questions and all that. You can tell by the results. If you had 1 million people that voted for president, you had way less than that voted for your local officials. They just don't care and they don't know who they are. And that's why there is so much chaos. And by the way, that is why there's so much chaos in the American worker system, because the people, if they had an opinion to say, hey, I don't like that these jobs are being outsourced. I don't like the fact that this big company that employed 700 people in Bucks County or Philadelphia County is being closed and moved overseas, to contact the elected official, because they don't know who they are. They have no idea who they are.
Michael, Larkin has asked for years, for years. Everyone offers their lamentations, but not solutions. I have created a solution, and now it is applicable in the state of Florida, and that initiative is going to ask voters. See, I can be lowercase d, Democratic also, Mark, and resist the little dictator that's in each of us. We're going to go and ask the voters of Florida that they're going to make a determination, Michael. Do you believe that in order to be able to vote, some civics competency that you must demonstrate it? And the voters are going to have their say, Mark. And the voters are either going to say, no, Rich, that's Jim Crow, that's a literacy test, and that's a poll tax, as if they actually know what any of that means, Larkin. Or people are going to say, you know, Rich, that's a pretty good idea, actually. That's not a bad idea. You know what? I'm going to support you. And then we're going to have a vote, Michael. And at the end of the vote, we're going to pass or we're going to fail. And if we pass, then we'll get ready for the litigation. But I'm saying that when Larkin has said this, I think about that all the time. Whenever I look at an issue, I always think about Larkin. I hear Larkin's words on the show, which is, give me a solution. And all I'm saying is that I've taken the words Larkin has said, so thank you, Larkin. And I said, you know what?
You're welcome.
I came up with something. And you know what? If somebody comes up with something better, I'll abandon what I'm doing and go with them, Mark. It doesn't matter to me from whom the idea came. You think I want the infamy of all this anyway? I don't, but it's okay. I'll go with whatever the best answer and the best solution is. But until I hear a better solution, this is the one I'm running with, Michael.
Well, you know, I have one solution that would help America and American workers. I'm pleased that I had some good reactions from people in my travels that told me it's time for us to get all the Trump voters and all the Biden voters focused on one thing, and that's a campaign like American Workers Need You, mainly because it's not a political movement. It's to benefit our fellow Americans of all races, colors, creeds, all working age and able-bodied people. It's a campaign, I'm asking, because it is not political. It's for the benefit of every one of our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our children. Let's not put the political issues on the other side of the door. And let's look out for American workers, because they really do need you. I'd like to see the new president, not only this new president now, but presidents in the future, strictly focus on how are we going to change America's infrastructure? How are we going to get more of the industries back? And when I say industry, I don't mean just the person standing on a production line somewhere. I'm talking about all of our industries, our restaurant industry, our travel industry. Everything that we do is an industry of some type, not just the manufacturing portion of it. I'd like to see all of our industries restored, mainly because our fellow Americans are looking out for our fellow Americans. Larkin, what would you add to that?
Well, I think what we do on this program is magnificent. I think everything that we say about America First, which, by the way, is no longer a pitch in Washington. America is not first now. I'm not sure who it is. Maybe Iran. I think it's a wonderful movement that we have created, and it has a lot of momentum when it's mentioned to anybody on the street, because it makes all the sense in the world. But the changes are going to have to come from a lot deeper than our program. I mean, you know, we may be killing one minnow at a time. I'm not sure. But in order to change this country and make it a better place, we have to do away from career politicians.
Right.
They can't get fired. Oh, I've been told by one of my favorite progressives. Yeah, they can get fired. They won't be reelected. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Nancy Pelosi pulled the stunt that she pulled, and let me use an even better one. AOC ran Amazon, and $500 million worth of revenue out of Queens because they wouldn't unionize. So we have to get, I don't know who's lying in her pockets. I really don't, but I know somebody is. It can be guaranteed that she's not now wearing, you know, $700 suits when I think she showed up the first day in dungarees. You know, come on, guys. We have to change the people who govern us. They have to care. They have to be statesmen. They have to want to improve the country. They want to have to improve the lifestyle of every American, period, amen.
Larkin, you're 1,000% right. You are absolutely right. And part of the problem that the American people have gone through is they didn't speak up as these politicians just continue to be reelected. They never came to most of their communities, whether it was AOC or Nancy Pelosi or anybody. Nobody, they don't go to the communities. They, after the election, they go into hibernation. They walk like they're, you know, always so busy, this and that, which I have no idea what they're busy with because I follow some of these people. But they act like, and then they come to life again 4, 5, 6 months before the next reelection. That's when you start to hear from them again. All of a sudden, they resurrect. Here I am. I'm fighting for this and that. For a year and a half after the election, I have no idea where they are, if they're in some borough hall, if they're in a hole someplace up in the roof. I have no idea where they're hiding. I never see them. I don't hear from them until it's time to give me money for the campaign. And that's why I want to just take this opportunity to say, our panel members like Larkin Conley, Mark Andel, Rich Logis, Curtis Ellis, Henry Chaplinsky, we all discuss this movement. I'd like to see 2021 be a new year, a total new year, where we have to get this format on the minds and in the hearts of more Americans than ever. In addition to us who are normally on the radio, we have people out there like Mike Sessions. There's Barbara Ilnitska. There's dozens of other radio broadcasters that do my weekly commentary, and they're trying to influence people. Do you know there are some radio broadcasters that do it during the end of their show, during the public service time, so that they're not looking like they're promoting something, so that they don't anger one of their sponsors that may be a foreign car company or something? Everybody lives in fear. Fear.
But Mike, they can't. It's time for the Americans to step up, do their part. Made in America has never been more needed and more wanted. You know, they're saying economic security is national security now, and it is. If you step, you know, right now in the holidays, they say if you spend every shopper spends $3.33, you create 10,000 jobs, and people have to do their part. Like you said, elect qualified officials. They have to get involved. Like Larkin said, America first. We got to keep this going into 2020. It's up to us now.
It's all up to us. That's right. And little voices, independent voices like us, have to be joined by bigger voices. But will they? That's the question of the day. Most of the independent voices in our Philadelphia tri-state area are very concerned. They don't want to anger some of their advertisers who may be people who are supporting mainly importers bringing in the foreign stuff. It's a situation. That's why for 20 years I've been talking about let's get to a 50-50 balance so we will have some peace
in our life. Hey, Mike,
you hear
that crying in the background. You hear that crying in the background. That's a little child saying, buy American. That's
right. You're right. Help me so that I don't have to be
on
any type of public assistance. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take this opportunity in behalf of Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Barbara Ilnitska, Henry Chaplinsky, and all the people involved in our movement, Denis Ostapovich, everybody that's involved promoting it during their radio broadcast. Without you, we're not going to move forward. We got to look forward. We have 30 days coming this Monday to make sure this year ends on New Year's Eve, the 31st day. We have to make sure American-made American workers are on the minds of everyone. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving in behalf of all of us from American Workers Radio and all of us in the Blihash family. I want to wish you a very enjoyable Thanksgiving. Stay well, be happy, and may God bless all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving,
guys.